love, pray, give, send, and go. These are the five words that we ended our annual missions week 5 weeks ago with a poignant response about. How many of you can remember 5 weeks ago? It was actually a snowy morning on a string of many Sunday morning snowfalls that we had in our early part of our year. How many of you guys remember that? It like seems a while ago now. It was very cold. There was a lot of snow on the ground for a long time. And now we're in spring. Isn't it great? I'm loving it. I've been grilling the last couple of weeks, but it's hard to think that 5 weeks ago we ended our annual missions week, and these were the five words that we had up at the end. In fact, we had posters, these posters, very ones, up here across the front. There were a few less people that day because of the snow, but those of you who were here, we'll call you the frozen chosen, that were here, came up to the front, and whatever word, which of these five words God was stirring in your heart for you to take a step toward, you came up to the front, there were markers, and you signed your name to them. In fact, from where you're sitting, if you can see all the red squigglies around all that, those are the names of people in our church that God had stirred toward that particular word that morning. Something that we should step forward into by faith in this upcoming year. Ways we should step into the mission that God has for us locally and around the world. And it was a wonderful morning. Well, today I would like to ask you to process these words once more with me as we step into what God has for us this morning. I want to ask you a question. Of these five words, are any of these optional for an individual believer in Christ or even for a church? Think about that for a moment. Are any of them optional? What do you think? It might be tempting to say, well, you know, I should love people. God says to do that. It's like the number one command, right? And I'm supposed to pray. Yeah, but this go thing, isn't that just for like the missionaries, the professionals who go overseas? Like what are we supposed to think about these words? And I want to make a case that all five of these words are essential for all of us if we're going to align with the heart of God. Let's just walk through them here real quickly. The first word is love. We know that God is love. In fact, he loves the world. There's a great verse we know and love. It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world. God loves the world. In fact, we have a core value in our family of churches in the Christian Missionary Alliance that God loves lost people and he wants them found. And so God's heart is inclined toward the people of the world who don't yet know him. And so if we love God with all of our hearts, we're going to love who God loves. We're going to love the things that are important on his heart. And so for all of us, we need to be a people who love our neighbors around us, love our community, and even all of the people groups and nations around the world who don't yet know about Jesus. The next one is pray. You know, all throughout Scripture, we're commanded to pray. There's a lot of examples of prayer. In fact, the whole Psalms are almost entirely prayers to God. The Apostle Paul, though, talks about it in a way where he invites us onto the mission with him, where he says, pray that God will open doors for the sharing of the gospel. That command was not only to his original readers, but extends even to us today, that we would pray for people who are sharing the good news, that God would open doors, that more people could hear about them. Now, obviously, that aligns with God's heart. We're talking to God about the things that are important on his heart, but he wants us to talk to him about those things. He wants us to pray for the people who don't yet know Jesus and pray for those who are bringing the good news, whether in our community or around the world. The next one is give. God is a giving God, isn't he? So we just quoted John 3:16. God so loved the world that it compelled him to give his only son. And here we are on this Palm Sunday, and we celebrate that Christ came into Jerusalem that day to the praise of many people. But his mission wasn't to be the conquering king who would usher in a whole new government over Israel and kick out the Romans. His mission was to usher in a spiritual kingdom first and foremost, that he would be the sacrificial lamb 5 days later who would die on the cross for our sins. God has given and given and given. We're going to remember that this Friday, 6:30 p.m. We'd love to have you out here as we remember the cost that Christ paid for us and we take communion together. And then, of course, next Sunday on Resurrection Sunday, celebrating that Jesus conquered sin and death and Satan, and God has given to us. And so his call, if we're going to be aligned with his heart, is to give toward the ministry that God is calling us to in our local community. So giving through the local church to the local community mission, but also giving to those who are going across the seas and making sure that we support them. The next word is send. Out of all these words, probably the least familiar to me as I was growing up was the word send and how we have a part in this. It just wasn't on my radar. I guess I thought, well, that's, you know, the professionals go, maybe the organizations send them, but me, how do I send people? Well, first, let's think about how God is a sending God. God the Father sent God the Son into our world. He sent Christ onto a mission in this world to redeem and save. But Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. We all are a sent people if we think in the ways that Jesus thought, in the ways that he taught, and even that he prayed for us, that we would be sent into this world as lights of Christ to dark places. And that for all of us might mean that we get sent locally here into neighborhoods where there are people who don't know Christ. You have neighbors around you who don't know him, who aren't following him, who aren't in a saving, restoring, redeeming relationship with Jesus. So he sends you. Or maybe into a worldly workplace or a worldly school or maybe into a rough part of town or whatever it might be. We are called to go into those places with the light of Christ. We are sent, and then it is true that there are some who are sent to a new region, maybe a new state, maybe across the United States, maybe across the globe to go serve in a different place. And we're going to actually come back to that word and center on that this morning. Then there's go. If you know where I'm going with this, you know it's not just for the professionals. It's not just for the people that we call missionaries, or in our family of churches, we call them international workers, because it's a little safer to have the label international worker in countries where it's not safe to use the other word. And so, yes, but we think about this in the sense, too, that God is a God who has gone himself. Jesus crossed all the barriers from the holiness and majesty of heaven into a dark and broken world. He came to us. He was the light, and then offered himself. And in the same way, as we send people, there are all of us who go into the places God sends us, but also going across the world. In fact, we use a phrase here in our church. It's also in our family of churches. We say that. I'm going to put it on the screen. We're going to read it together. Okay? All of Jesus for all the world takes all of us. Can we say that one more time together? All of Jesus for all the world takes all of us. That, folks, is what we have to own if we're going to be aligned with God's heart. By the way, one more thing as we're processing these words. Are there any of these that God doesn't do? You might have heard me describe all of these. The one that's probably the hardest one for us to picture is, does God pray? Well, I want to just point out that when Jesus was on earth, he talked to his heavenly Father often, and even there's a whole chapter, John 17, that's recorded of Jesus' prayer for us, that we would be united in love and that the world would see Christ in us. So yes, Jesus has prayed on this mission for us, and also it tells us that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. So does God pray? He talks within the Trinity. Yes, he does. God does these things. Our church is supposed to do these things. And we all are supposed to do all of these things. It's how we step into partnership with God. And I love that. It stretches us a little bit. I mean, maybe you feel more comfortable with one word and not the other words, but maybe two of them you're okay with. But how about trying that on? All five of them are for all of us. But as I mentioned, today we're going to center in on one of these words. It's the word send. And I want to just build a biblical foundation for this. It's coming from Romans chapter 10. This will be our scripture that we're going to center on briefly. We're actually going to spend some really cool time celebrating something God's doing and hearing from someone who is living these five words out. But Romans 10, you can turn there in your scriptures. I'm also going to have it on the screen just for reference so I can point some things out. It's Romans 10, 13 to 15. I'm going to start with the first sentence. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Can we just stop? That's an incredible statement by God in his word. Everyone, no matter what their background, no matter where they've lived, no matter how bad of a background they feel, how disqualified they feel from ever being part of God's family, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, our Savior, the one who went to the cross for us, as we put our trust in him, not in ourselves to save us, but in him, will be saved. There's salvation available for everyone. You, me, praise God, for our neighbors, for the people we can see drive by on the street, for the people who live in faraway countries, everyone. Then listen to the logic of heaven. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And it continues. And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are what? Sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Folks, how can people believe in a God they haven't heard of? There are people all around us, maybe they've heard of him, they've heard of Christ, but they don't understand the message of his grace, of salvation, the freedom that can come by freely acknowledging our sin and not trusting in ourselves to get us out of that, but trusting in a great Savior who can change, transform, and redeem all of what has been broken and lost in our lives. And promise us such an incredible present and future. Jesus is the one. How can they believe in him if they haven't heard about him? And then how can they hear unless someone goes and tells them? And how can someone tell them unless they are, say it again, sent? This word just keeps coming up in our church, in our life, in Scripture. I want us to grapple with that word and own that word. That God is tapping us on the shoulder and saying, hey, I want you to go. I want you to be one who brings that good news to people. And that we partner together as a church to see that that happens around our region and it happens around the globe. There's many ways that we're doing that at our church, but I want to center in on this for us, that we are doing that internationally as well. And we're going to celebrate that this morning. Now, a year ago, I came up here before you guys to make a major announcement that we're pregnant. Not Lisette and I, no. Our church was expecting that we had a young couple who God had been raising up and had been part of our midst for about 5 years at that time, and that they were ready to be sent ones to go where God was calling them. It's Colin and Anna. They left last September. We were able to pray over them and commission them. They are part of us that God has sent to a country that we codename Green Mountains because of just the security risks of their country. We got to kind of use code names there for them. And by the way, they say hi. To talk to them about a week and a half ago. They were, that night, Colin was doing dishes and Anna was out running errands and Colin was like, I'm just going to call Steve. And I was like, sweet. So I pick up the phone and we chatted for about a half hour, which is really neat. You can do that these days over voice calls on the internet. And they were excited because 2 days after that, Anna's parents were going to be arriving to visit them for 2 weeks. And so right now her parents are there and they were saying that this will be the first familiar faces from home in 6 months for them. And they were so excited, like, oh, it's going to be so good. They love their country. They're in the midst of studies. They're making all kinds of relationships. They're growing, they're doing well, but they were thrilled to have some family come, and it'll be great one day when we get to send a team to go and minister with them and to them. So that day is still on the horizon. We don't have any exact plans for that yet, but they're doing great. Well, I'm up here today to say that we're expecting Irish twins. You guys know what that is? That's when you have two babies within 12 months. Now, Lisette and I had the crazy opportunity that that happened in our family with our boys, just under 12 months apart. In our church, we're expecting again. Can we just celebrate that with joy, that God is working and moving? And before they come up and they share, I just want to walk through real quick that we have a history of this, that God has put this on our hearts. For decades, we've been walking in this idea of being a sending church. So we've got a history. So let's look back. 40 years ago, we sent Bruce and Stephanie Beers, first to Ecuador, but then they served in Uruguay. Are they here this morning? Let's get a little whoop whoop from you guys. All right, out there in the back. We love you guys. What a privilege. 40 years ago, we got to send them. They served overseas for 37 years, and God used them in mighty ways, and he's brought them back now. Part of our church, in fact, they're heading up our global engagement team, the GET team, that's helping mobilize missions in our church, through our church, out to support the world. And so we are so grateful for you guys and glad that you're back. Bruce is also newly an elder serving at our church. Then we had an opportunity to send Kent and Chris Copeland, who served in Cambodia, had a bunch of kids. Kendra is one of those. Kendra Moore, I don't know if Zach and Kendra are here today. But they served in Cambodia in medical missions. We sent lots of teams to them. We supported them through the years. They were there for 20 plus years, maybe 25 years, and have since returned back to the States as well. Then we sent Zach and Jen O'Connor in the early 2000s. That's a little outdated picture. Caleb is almost as tall as Dad now. And he's growing like a weed. But they are in Gabon, West Africa, serving at a hospital there. They're both surgeons. Like, can you wrap your mind around that? Mom and Dad are both, like, fully trained surgeons who could be serving in the United States, making buku bucks, and they're serving in the jungles of West Africa. And here's their express purpose, not just to do the medical care, and surgeries and whatever it requires. They also want to share Jesus with all the people who are coming into their hospital. But not only that, but their main goal is to multiply that ministry by having African doctors come and do residencies with them, get their certifications, learn how to do ministry through medical care, and then send those doctors out through the African continent to multiply that over so many times. Isn't that awesome? What an incredible ministry. They come back every summer, and you'll get to see them again. And we love having them back. Then, back in 2019, Matt and Stephanie Stein went out from us, and they are serving, as you saw this morning already, in the Atlanta area through a farm, getting to use that context to reach refugees who are moving to the United States. And their area has the most populated mile or square mile, two square miles, has one square mile, has the most people groups from around the world living in that one square mile. And God is bringing the nations to us. And that's why they're there, getting to share Christ through that ministry. Real quickly then, we're going to, this slide won't be popped up on live stream, so if you're on live stream, you won't see this one, but here in the room, Colin and Anna then, and here's their picture, and they're serving in the Green Mountains. And we have loved these folks, we have prayed for them, we have given toward them, they are part of us. In fact, we send teams still to minister to these folks, and I'll just drop a little note in here that in October, we're going to be sending a team to Uruguay to put on the vision and prayer conference for the international workers down there, and we are looking to bring a team of four who would do the kids ministry to the teenagers and to the elementary kids, and go with us, who people who are qualified, able to take 9 days off and go down there. And so if you're interested in finding out more information, let us know, and we're going to be kind of trying to put that team together here in the next couple of months. Let me tell you, there's no privilege like this. That means like when someone receives Christ in Uruguay, we had a part in that. When someone comes to that farm and through sheep and goats is able to be exposed to the name of Jesus for the first time, we were part of that. That means when someone comes to the hospital in Gabon, West Africa, to get medical care and hears of Jesus, we were part of that. And think of the reverse. If we don't send and if we don't continue to support those that we have sent out from us, that means as they minister, they're alone. They don't have the prayer support from their people. They don't have the supply chain of the Father's blessing on us, continuing to then bless them in their ministry. We are a sending people and a sending church. And so today we're excited to take the next step in that journey. And so now we'll instruct for our live stream to be cut off. So those of you who joined us online, we love you guys. We just can't have you join us in this part of things. Again, for security reasons, it's not something we can have posted out on the internet. So